Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So Maureen, welcome back to the UK from sunny, hot, glorious Australia to grey, dingy, damp England.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Welcome back.
I was swimming just before my flight. I went to a lovely outdoor pool in Sydney.
Was it one of those pools that's also like the sea?
No, it isn't. But that was in Coogee. Oh, the women's pond in Coogee is just lovely.
Oh, that whole, did you do that walk from Bondi to Coogee?
You know what? Maddie suggested it and then took a look at Scott's face. And I went, no. She went, I'll hire a car.
Oh, Maureen, you missed out. It's absolutely glorious. It's the highlight.
I'm sure it is, but I would never have got to the end. We had to walk up a hill. We had to walk up a hill and I was needing oxygen. So, no.
Maureen, come on. Next time you go, and you will go again, get yourself to a point of fitness. It's the most beautiful walk. You'll love
it. I know,
it.
But I've got to forget the flight. The flight was horrendous. And then I talked to a lot of people.
We moved to the flight very quickly. We were at a women's pool in Coogee, and we've already gone to the flight. Let's sit in the positivity, Maureen.
Oh, okay. All right.
Speaking of positivity, Maureen, I love your hair right now. Love your hair.
I've just washed it. That's why you haven't seen it like this, because I very rarely wash my hair.
I love it. Wow, I want you to just start washing it and put something in it. And also,
anything in it.
Have you not? I love your hoop earrings.
Don't be rude, but that was my last purchase.
That's the ring I love. Right. I saw that and I was like, oh, yes.
Yes.
$10 from a street in Newtown.
Beautiful.
$10. I mean, you splashed out there, Maureen. You got into double figures. 10-10.
It's like, because I wanted to get rid of my Aussie money. And then, thanks to Scott, I bought two big books before I went because, you know, I was travelling light. I was meant to read one of them on the journey. Never did, of course. Never did.
Well, don't worry about it. The thing with books is that they don't, you can hang on to them.
Can I just say that on the second flight, I sat down. As soon as I sat down, the guy next to me got up and went and sat somewhere else.
Where did he go?
He just went to another row.
Was he looking for a seat by himself? Is that what he was doing?
I don't know, but as soon as I sat down there, he just got up.
Yep. If it's an empty flight, I do the same thing. I'd be like, see ya. I'm going to go find a road myself.
Yeah. I mean, you hadn't washed your hair at that point, Maureen, so that might have been it.
I hardly ever wash my hair.
Wow.
I've been in the pool, so it's been wet.
You didn't wash your hair when you came out of a swimming pool?
No.
No.
You just leave the chlorine. You just
leave
it in.
Leave the chlorine to disintegrate your hair. That's a good idea.
What does it matter? Oh, it's washed.
Well, I don't know if you know what chlorine is. It's a chemical. It's nice to get it out of your hair. But don't worry, Maureen. Look, we don't come to you for the tips, do we, Alison? You've got to this age and you're like, what does it matter about chlorine? I mean, it's not going to kill you, certainly, is it? So why worry about it?
No problem.
Well, no, Maureen, there's never a problem. I want you to know that. We know that it's not a problem. It's just indicating the benefits of shampoo. So, Maureen, well done. It's lovely to have you back. You've really directed us in loads of different directions, but mainly you've wanted to focus on the flight. Is there anything else you want to talk about on the flight before we move forward? Because I feel like you will be coming back to the flight.
Oh, yes, because it's a Be More Maureen moment. There's quite a few of them. But I do have to say, my tour with Maddie, because in Sydney I just slept. I was so tired. But she took me around. It was brilliant. We hired went to a farmer's market. I wasn't that bothered, where I paid for an overpriced bit of toast, £8 for a horrible bit of toast. And then we went to Coogee, Bondi Beach. We got into Icebergs, which is apparently a very famous bar and restaurant on Bondi Beach. Get a great view of Bondi Beach. And then we went to Bronte. What's his point? She took me somewhere else. I can't remember.
Ah, sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds glorious. And the weather looked incredible as well. Because sometimes it can be a bit wet in Sydney. It can be a bit rainy about this time. But you didn't have any rain?
It rained once, but nothing much. And it was hilarious at the ladies' ponds. Maddie was like, it's a bit cold, isn't it? And I was like, no, it's not cold.
You're like, no, this is lovely.
Are they ponds or are they pools?
It's basically a pond, but it's seawater. So they've got like
seawater. Yeah, I think they call it a pool.
Oh, they call it a pool.
Yeah, I think pond is freshwater, but I think I've been there. There's another one, another freshwater pool, and I don't know if there's another beach before Coogee. It's not a women's pool. It's just
there's one further up for the women's pool, which is mixed.
What's that called?
Whiteley's.
No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, I went with Marcus Birdman many years ago, and we went for a walk, and he suggested we go for a run.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh out loud. If anyone ever said that to me, I would slap them.
One, I don't run. B, I'm hungover. And I didn't get very far before I nearly had a heat stroke and ended up in this pool. But I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was very, very beautiful. And it probably is cold for
Aussies.
Not for us.
At one point, I was the only one in the pond. Everyone else was kind of lying in the sun. But, you know, for a Brit, you're like, this is warm.
Well, great. And you got it to yourself.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, do you think you'll go back?
Yeah, I've got to forget about the... Look, I got taught the trick is to break up the journey and spend a few days somewhere.
Yeah.
Which I think if I do that next time, that might be a really good idea.
Well, on the way back next time, why don't you pick up some gigs in Singapore? That's what I did last time. And what a great little treat that is. I mean, it's still quite a long flight from Sydney to Singapore, but it breaks it up. Then you do a week's work in Singapore and then Singapore back to the Doha and then back to the UK. I would do that. That's a little bit better. And also just make a little bit of dough along the way. Maureen, come to me for all of your international gig advices. Well, anyway, it's good to have you back. Welcome home.
Thank you all.
Jamie's just down there attacking my sofa.
So nothing new then.
The cat's still alive. You're collecting her tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got to talk to you about that. But I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay. All right. Alison, how's your week been?
It's been good. Thank you. Nothing as exciting as traveling back from Australia. Nothing quite that exciting. I did a lovely gig in Liverpool at the Philharmonic Hall. How about that?
That sounds great.
Yeah. It was absolutely packed. It was so beautiful. And I mean, the lineup, there were so many comics. I don't know how they did a show. It was like, so Jason Manford was headlining. There was Larry Dean, myself, Darren Harriott.
Oh, wow.
That's only a few that I've named, but there was about seven people on the lineup. It was, it was really nice. And so I had a triple that night, which was a really, look, I won't talk comedy, but sometimes when you get three gigs in a night, it's just, you feel real wanted, right? You feel real wanted. So
you do.
It was lovely.
You do. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That sounds lovely. What a beautiful room to play, I bet.
Oh, my God. So just beautiful, historic, gigantic. Yeah, it was a very fun.
Was it a charity gig? What was it?
No, every so often, a Laughter House, a comedy club in Liverpool, puts on just a big kind of gala. They do this a few times a year. So, yeah, it was really nice.
Oh, sweet.
Good time.
That sounds great.
Even with a rider in the room, isn't that sad? That's where my comedy career is at when I'm like, they had chips and pop in the back. I was so excited.
Oh, I love it when they've got drinks at the back. Sometimes I don't even have a drink. I just like that it's there. I'm like, oh, look at them thinking about what we might want.
Thank you for trying to keep us happy. I really appreciate that.
It's
that
a rare
lovely.
Thing in this job, but I like it when it happens. Yeah. I went to a spa last week. I took my friend away for her 50th and paid to stay in a hotel in Sussex somewhere, which had a spa attached to it, which was very nice. And then went for dinner and all of that jazz. It was really lovely. Very, very...
relaxing?
Civilized.
Oh, civilized.
Relaxing.
Okay.
Relaxing. Yeah.
Good.
They had a pool. They had an outdoor hot tub. They had an outdoor sauna. Everything was outdoors. I was like, what? You got no indoor plumbing? Can we not do some of this inside? But anyway, it was very lovely. It's nice to be outside. So that's the highlight of my week. The end. And the rest has been gigs. We don't need to hear about those. Who cares? Mm, it's just work, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How was your photocopying? Brilliant. That's it. The end.
It's like when people say, oh, it's your birthday. Do you want to go to a comedy club? And you're like, no.
No one says that to me. They don't say that to me. They wouldn't be my friend. I'd be like, sorry, are we? No. I don't think we can be friends anymore.
People even stop saying, let's go out. They just say, do you want us to come to your house? And I'll be like, yes.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to leave it.
I don't want to go out. What am I doing for my birthday? Oh, staying in. Put the telly on. What a treat. Welcome back, Maureen, anyway. Lovely to have you here. It was very exciting to hear about your many crevasses on the aeroplane. We'd need more information about that. Don't stop telling us about that time ever again, because we want to hear more. And I have a feeling we're going to in your Be My Buddy moment.
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini round her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
No, didn't notice. No. Okay, so I've written down a list. On the way back, I paid extra so I could be in the front row where there's exit, where there's you got longer legs.
Yeah, exit.
Your legs
exit
out.
Already, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you, Maureen.
So anyway, I couldn't figure out how to get the table out because obviously it's the side
down
arm.
By the side. Yeah.
So the whole journey, this poor Swedish doctor had to take it out for me, put it back in. Right. Also, couldn't figure out where the entertainment thing was. I thought it was this panel at the side. It wasn't. Turns out it's also in the legs somewhere. Anyway, they had to put that in for me and they had to put it out again. I then knocked an empty tray of food all over the floor. So I had to go and pick that up. I didn't realise the chairs recline until 13 hours into the journey back. Didn't realise all the way there. Didn't realise on the way back. And then I spotted the doctor had her chair. I said, oh, does it recline? Because I said, I pressed this button, didn't really work. She went, oh, no, it does. And so I had to press it, reclined. I was like, oh, this is so much better. And then within 10 minutes, I had to put it back up again because they were serving food. You know what? I think that guy might have got up because he might have seen me in the previous flight.
I was going to say, I think he witnessed.
And then I lost the wire for my headphones, couldn't find it. So I'm on my knees trying to find this wire. And I'm at that age where I've got to grunt every time I go down a level. Do you know what I mean? Like, anyway, I can't find this fucking wire. And I'm like, it's here. It's definitely here. Finally see it. It's in between the side of the chair and the side of the plane. And it's almost impossible to get. I've got thick arms. Anyway, I managed to get it.
I really liked your grunting noise.
Well, there's a real litany of events. I can see why you wanted to stay on the aeroplane journey. It sounds more interesting than Sydney.
Oh, and then when we got to passport control, I put my passport in. It wasn't working. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, because by this point I was knackered. And the lovely lady behind me went, oh, no, you just put it in. I went, it is in. Anyway, it wasn't in. And then I couldn't get, the doors didn't open. So I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Anyway, you've got to take your passport out, apparently. That was it, I think.
Right.
That's all I remember, anyway.
That's all you remember? Wow. So there could have been more. Incredible.
Possibly.
Oh, there Incredible. Definitely was. There wow. definitely was.
So, good flight.
Long flight. Oh, I mean, it
sounds like it's long for everyone, Maureen.
I felt sorry for the Swedish couple who was sitting next to me.
Yeah. So,
and we got one of those things, you know, when they go, is there a doctor or a nurse?
Oh, wow. What happened?
Yeah. That's how I knew she was a doctor because she got up. So there was a doctor. We needed a doctor, a nurse. And I was thinking, if we have to fucking fly back. But anyway, yeah, so she had to deal with that. There was some. And then there were two
medical
doctors.
Medical emergency.
Some emergency, and they had a differing of opinion, but apparently it wasn't too serious.
Blimey, Maureen, that sounds like quite the trip. At least, because you know, sometimes on these journeys you can get bored, can't you? Because nothing happens and there's nothing to do. It sounds like you created your own entertainment. Not the entertainment provided by the flight, certainly, but your own individual entertainment.
I was drinking a lot of whiskies and orange juices.
Perfect.
Were you?
That really, on a long haul flight, I find alcohol.
Alcohol helps.
Well, I mean, it also dehydrates the living fuck out
of you. I was just going to say that. I feel just like shit halfway through a flight if I have, unless I want to sleep. Like on the second flight, whenever I go to Canada, I have two Proseccos out and I just sleep. But
yes, because there's something about being in that environment where there's, I don't know, is it the pressure or the air? One, you fart all the time. That's a terrible thing. Times people walk past me and just openly trumped, thinking it was going to be a silent but violent, but it had actually made a noise. And there's something about a fart on an aeroplane which really propels it out of you. So you think, oh, this will be silent, and it comes out, and the person looks mortified, but there's a bit of you that goes, oh, look, don't worry about it, I did that in the toilet earlier. But if you're gonna do that, go to the toilet. Don't wait till your bum is right at level with my nose. That's just my general.
Why would their bum be level with her nose?
Because I'm sitting down.
Sitting and they're standing.
And they're walking past me on the aeroplane. That's how it works, Maureen, when people
this
walk past
you on an aeroplane.
This is also
why I pay to sit at the front. Otherwise, if you get off the plane at the back...
Oh, you have to go through a fog of farts.
It's the parade of farts, yeah.
And you're like this, Alison. Yeah. On the last leg, I sat upstairs.
What? That's first class, isn't it?
No, half of it was first class, half of it wasn't. So I got to sit upstairs. And then you go through, you get off with the first class people.
You sat near first class, but not first class. Did it feel like you were in first class?
No. Do you know, I was thinking of upgrading and then, you know, how much it was going to cost?
£15,000. Yeah.
$12,000.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Like about £6,000.
What did you think it was going to be? 40 quid?
Oh, I don't know. But I was like, well, I won't be paying for that. That's for sure.
Oh,
£6,000.
Boring.
I need to live for the next year, so probably.
That's hilarious.
Aww.
Wow.
But I'm proud of you that your brain is even going to these places now where you're like, I'm worth it. I'm doing it. I'm not suffering. It's only taken 3 years for us to get to this point, Maureen, and I am delighted.
It's taken Jen a lot longer.
I've only been on the last 3 years.
I don't like to focus on the time, Alison. Well, Maureen, we're glad that you got home safe, that you haven't developed some sort of thrombosis due to inactivity on the aeroplane. Did you do your exercises? Were you stretching? Did you move your arms and legs around?
No.
How are your legs feeling now?
All right.
Yeah? You're not swollen or anything?
No.
Welcome home, Maureen Younger. Your Be More Maureen moments were on point and thoroughly enjoyable and fitted the brand that we needed for this particular section. We've missed you, even though we've seen you every single week. Welcome back. Now it's time to head to Alison June Smith because she has the problem that she has the answer to. So let's ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Hey, well, first off, I want to say a shout out to there was a lovely girl who sent me a fantastic message that I should have pulled up in the beginning. I'm awful. Saying thank you so much. She was like, you haven't gotten around to doing my problem yet, which I do apologize. But she said, I wrote you with a problem the other day, then just heard a super similar one. It was episode 127, which was so surreal. So I just wanted to say to people, please keep writing in because your problems help other people as well. So the more you share your issues, the more people are like, thank you so much. So I just want to say thank you to Jess for sending me that message. Really appreciate it. As always, I'm not a therapist, but let's get into this week's problems, which I really, really love. Okay. Hello, WTB. Firstly, thank you for the amazing podcast. You're welcome. Basically, a long story short, I have managed to ditch a job I hate. It caused a lot of stress and tough times and led to time off due to stress, much needed therapy, yada, yada. I just wanted to ask Allison if she had any tips around starting a new job. I've had many jobs before, so theoretically I know how to approach starting a new job, but I was completely blindsided when the last job became toxic. Started off good, but became real tricky as the true culture started creeping in and it was just a horrible place to work. I love working with the people and have always been able to build really positive relationships and friendships at work and have never experienced anywhere close to experiences at my last terrible job. Anyway, that being said, basically I'm a 31-year-old, confident, happy extrovert who could be described as a bit much, which I'm fine with. It's not a nervous thing. Just what is the best approach to joining a new workplace with energy, enthusiasm, while also giving people space without ruffling feathers, stepping on toes, etc. Okay. I just want to say, first off, good for you for getting out of a job you hate. The amount of people who write in saying they hate their job, well done you. Well done you. Number one, you got out of that shitty job. I'm so proud of you. Secondly, if someone describes you as a bit much, perhaps they're not fucking enough, is what I say to that. There is no such thing as being a bit much. They are not enough. So I'm glad that you embrace it as a positive thing because that's what it should be. Oh, also, I love that the fact that your awareness that you're saying you don't want to like be too energetic, ruffle feathers, stepping up, the fact that you're even having these thoughts before you go to the new job, I don't think you have anything to worry about because your self-awareness is on point even before you get there. How polite is that you're thinking of the other people that you're working with? So I think you're going to be just fine. But I did look up some things. Starting a new job, here are some tips that I think will really help. Number one, I know it sounds ridiculous, but dress to impress. Hey, look good when you go into the new job. Hey, I'm not saying you have to buy a whole new wardrobe, but like, get your shit together. Make a good impression. It looks good. Introduce yourself to everyone. I think a lot of people wait to be introduced to people. If you're the new person there, don't rely on somebody else to do it. Just introduce yourself. Take notes and ask questions. Again, I think you gauged yourself really well with not being obnoxious, but like the more questions you can ask, I mean, don't be overbearing, but the amount of questions you can ask, taking notes, what you're doing in this first little bit is sussing out the new environment, okay? Socialize. Build some relationships with people in the office. Also, seek out a mentor. Who's someone that you think is working really well at that office? Who gets along with people? Maybe this one is someone you can connect with, really form a relationship with, and actually have them as a bit of a mentor. I think that's a really, really good thing. Also, immerse yourself in the company culture. Like you said, you didn't expect the last one to be toxic. Now you've gone through that. Hopefully you'll be able to sniff out if this one's going to be toxic as well a bit quicker. Set some focus time. Sometimes when we start a new job, we're so entrenched with getting to know everything, getting to know everyone, that the actual work can fall behind. So what I would say is once you figure out your day, kind of make sure there's a block where you like section that off where you're not going to be interrupted, you're not going to be socializing, and get your work done. And again, this is just at the beginning. Sometimes everything can become overwhelming, so it's good to set off some block times. Focus on the present. Don't think too much about the job that happened. Don't worry about what's going to happen in the times to come. Share your ideas. Learn about your employer. Who's your boss? This is number one. Who are you working for? You got to get to know what they're about, what they expect, their expectations. That's your really big focus, I think. Who is overseeing you? That's what you need to know. Also, take care of yourself. Look, this can be an overwhelming time. You need to be doing nice things for yourself too. Going out with friends, having nice dinners, sceduling in restful weekends. Whatever it is you need to do, you need to take care of yourself. For the first month of a new job, you're in the proverbial honeymoon period. Okay? First month, you're learning. At 60 days, your job will still expect that you're finding your sea legs, but they may, and there may not be significant pressure, but at 90 days, I bet you the 3 month period, that's when your work's going to be like, are you in? Are you doing this? Okay. So you have 30 day honeymoon period, 60 days. You should be getting in the groove by month three. You pretty much should have down what your role is, what you're doing. 90 days. Every article I read said that 90 days, 90 days. Set goals. Also imagine what you want out of this job. I don't want you to get stuck in a job if there's nowhere to go. Pretty early on, you should be going, what do I want out of this job? Where do I want to be in this company? If you can't see a future forward, I mean, you really got to look at that. And my final big piece of advice is don't sleep with people at work. There you go, everyone. That's my advice. Don't bang in the office. That's what I'm saying, everyone. Yeah.
Don't shit where you work, basically.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good advice. I mean, it's good. The fact that you've got that much self-awareness, I think, is incredible. I don't think you have to really worry there too much. It's people without any self-awareness that go around, you know, completely unaware of how their behavior impacts on other people that are usually the problem. Yeah. I don't find people that are self-aware a problem, generally.
No.
And if you still find that the people finding you a problem, then...
maybe they're the problem and you'll figure out how
to... Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the problem. This doesn't sound like it's you. And you're young enough to be able to just... pick up and start somewhere else.
Honestly, that's a big thing. That's why I'm like, figure out what you want out of this. If you hate it, get out.
Get out sooner than later. Don't waste your time. My God. And inevitably, you're going to leave it anyway. You are 100% going to leave because this is the wrong place to work. So you might as well get out earlier rather than later. And the later you wait, the harder, well, not the harder it is to leave necessarily, but the more painful it is to turn up to work. You have weeks of weeks. You've given in your notice, but you still got to be there. It's like,
yeah,
get out.
Also, now the younger generations, even our, they say you're going to have more than one career in your lifetime. So just like, don't be nervous about that, right? You're going to have more than one job. It's not like it used to be where we're at the same company for 50 years. That shit doesn't happen anymore.
No.
So don't be afraid of change.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good advice, Alison. And I hope that helped our listener with their problem, but sounds like they're going to be a-okay. That's my advice. You're going to be great. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Just left.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But I don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen
laughing. Maureen is laughing with other people.
We're like... in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my go? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your go?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished.
We've done it. And let's just say you were involved. Anyway. Now let us find out what we have been watching with our eyes.
Well, I was on a very long flight, so I decided to watch Oppenheimer because that's like a fifth of my flight gone already.
Okay.
It's very long, really long. Very, very long. The last 40 minutes it really kicked off because there's a big twist and everything.
Is that?
Yeah. That's my review. It's long.
It's long. Wow. Okay. I mean, I will have gotten that it's long from how many minutes it is.
But sometimes you can watch a long film and it doesn't seem long. This did seem long. I mean, it was quite interesting spotting all the famous actors are in it. They all kind of suddenly appear. And, you know, it is looking at, you know, scientists who obviously, they like, the, you know, they're in, fascinated and driven by the science of it and the intellectual demands and the challenges. But then obviously there's the repercussions, which obviously he had to deal with as the father of the atomic bomb. But yeah, if you're on a long flight, just it kills time. Also, another long one, Dune, which I got halfway through and then I just stopped.
Dune. So you watched the first one?
Well, half of it.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it's very well done. It's not really meant to be on a small screen. But after about an hour and a half, I got the idea he's the chosen one. So you're like, oh, okay. So, yeah. And then I watched, because it's a classic, which I've never seen, An Affair to Remember with Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr. It's a very famous film. It schmaltzes hell. Jen, you'd be rolling your eyes within about 10 minutes.
I've seen it.
You've seen
it? I've seen every Cary Grant film because my mum was a Cary Grant lover.
Yeah.
She loved him. No, wasn't one of his lovers, just to be clear. And so we had all of his films at home on a box set.
Oh.
Every one of Cary Grant's films, which we watched, as we did every one of Doris Day's films.
Oh.
Two of my mum's favourites, Doris Day and Cary Grant.
Doris Day's great.
So, yes, I've seen An Affair to Remember.
So if you don't know, I don't know if you've seen it, Alison, it's basically Cary Grant is playing a ladies' man, no stretch there, who's about to marry one of America's richest heiresses. He's on a boat. He meets Deborah Kerr, who's basically a mistress to a very wealthy man. She was a singer. They fall in love primarily when they go to visit his French-speaking aunt, grandmother, sorry, in a village in the south of France, which has got his own chapel. Anyway, and then they plan to meet again in 6 months' time if they're both still in love with each other on the Empire State Building, and then something happens. It's very schmaltzy. There's lots of singing children in it as well.
It's very moving, romantic.
Did you find it? I didn't.
No, I don't find any of those things. I find them like completely unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's totally unbelievable.
And ultimately, I don't care. So, good recommendations there, Maureen. Three absolute
things not to watch.
One film that you gave zero information about other than it's long. One film that you didn't finish watching. And one film that you can't recommend. Brilliant. So,
I like that, though. That's typical of airplane movies. When I'm in the air, I will watch shit that normally I would never watch. So
I did try to watch Willy Wonka, and I got to about 10 minutes, and they started singing again, and I'm like, oh, sod
this. It's a musical, Maureen. Of course they've got singing. The thing is, basically what you've done is you've not recommended four films. So, An Affair to Remember, Oppenheimer,
June,
and now Wonka. That's actually four films. Four films you didn't enjoy. Mm. Great. Well, on to me. I watched recently, and you can watch it on Amazon Prime, and I watched it because it looked very short, but then just to let you know, it's on Freevee, so it comes with loads and loads of bloody adverts, which makes it a hell of a lot longer, and I will not ever watch anything on that again because I can't watch a movie with adverts, I've realised. It's just...
American telly, they do it all the time, don't they?
I've been to, but I mean, I'm fortunate enough, I don't live in America, so that's not something I have to worry about. I absolutely hated the adverts, but I quite enjoyed the film. It's called The Party, and it stars, what a cast it has, some of my favourite actors, Patricia Clarkson, Timothy Spall, Emily Mortimer, Kristen Scott Thomas, Bruno Gantz, Cillian Murphy. What are we talking about here? This is an incredible lineup and also Cherry Jones, who I also love. So absolutely brilliant cast, top notch. Every single actor in that film, I'm like, love them. It's called The Party because everyone's gone round to Kristen Scott Thomas, her character's house. She's just been promoted to become the Minister of Health, I think. And it's like a really big deal that she's been promoted. And there seems to be chat that this will be a stepping stone for her to become the leader of the party. You get the impression that it's the Labour Party because they keep wanging on about how important the NHS is. But there's other stuff going on. Like you glean, like her husband, played by Timothy Spall, is clearly having some sort of a breakdown in the living room. Cillian Murphy turns up. He's got a gun. Why? We don't know why he's got a gun. He looks sweaty. He's coked out of his head. He's nervous. His wife hasn't no one really knows why he's there because everyone likes his wife, but his wife is like, oh, she's coming later to congratulate you. Then you've got Patricia Clarkson's character, who seems to be a confidant and a friend of Chris and Scott Thomas's character, whose the names I've forgotten. It doesn't matter. I'll just call them Chris and Scott Thomas by the actor's name. And then Bruno Gantz is there as the lover of Patricia Clarkson, or husband. And she's just declared to everyone that they're officially separated and they're going to break up because she finds him insufferable. He is like a life coach. So he spends the whole time trying to life coach people when they don't want to be life coached. So it's quite a, there's a lot going on. And then Cherry Jones, who is a very close friend of Timothy Spall's and also advisor to Kristen Scott Thomas, has turned up. Her partner has just found out she's pregnant with triplets. Her partner is the advisor to Kristen Scott Thomas. So anyway, that's the backdrop. But we don't know what's going on other than we think Kristen Scott Thomas is having an affair. We think Timothy Spall is having a breakdown. We think Cillian Murphy is trying to kill someone. But other than that, we don't know anything. And this is all going to be wrapped up in an hour. The movie is only an hour long, so it's like a play.
Oh.
And it's all, everything happens in the house. Nothing is outside of the house, the house and the garden, and that is it. And if you can watch it without adverts, that would be brilliant. I don't know how you can access it without adverts, but I can recommend it. It's like just a really long one-off episode of a, you know, like most series are about an hour, aren't they? An hour and 5 minutes dramas. And it's like the perfect viewing if you're like, I can't bear the thought of breaking into a box set, or I don't want to watch a movie because it's a bit too long, because movies are so long now, aren't they? As Maureen has told us.
3 hours.
3 hours. Dune is also ridiculously long. So this is just an hour. So if you can watch it without, or perhaps adverts don't bother you, in which case you can watch it on Amazon Prime and you don't have to worry about the adverts. But yes, I do recommend it. The Party. Think of it as a play. And the ending is not, it's the ending's the ending. It's not what I was expecting, but it was very enjoyable. Written and directed by Sally Potter. Go watch it. That's my recommendation. Alison.
Yes.
Talk to me about the horror.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I went with a nice fluffy horror gang because, starting a new job, I thought the idea of office, I've given you some intense office horror movies before. So this one, I'm just keeping it light, gang. And I'm recommending Final Destination 5. That's right.
Wait,
Final Destination 5.
This is like the never ending.
Oh, yeah. It's a series. Yeah, yeah. It's going on and on.
Franchise. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing about this one is it's just what I call a background horror movie, right? So throw it in. You don't have to be invested. The story, Sam and his colleagues never reach their final destination. See what they did there? Before they start dying. Or at least that's what happens in Sam's big premonition. Averting the disaster, Sam saves himself and his colleagues only for death to start picking them off in the days and weeks which follow. That's right, everyone. The concept of you can't escape death continues on in Final Destination 5.
Wow. Is there a Final Destination 6?
Oh, there will be.
I'm sure there is. I don't even know
how many Final Destinations are there? Are they just going to keep on going until...
I think so.
How many Final Destinations are there? That's what I want to know. So movies, I think there's only 5. No, there's 6.
There's 6. Yeah.
There's Final Destination 6. Come on, guys. What the fuck are we talking about here? Have you seen that yet? You got to watch it.
You got to watch 6 before 7 comes out. I mean, you know, yeah, it's and then 8. Yeah. No, it never ends. But it's a light, fluffy one, everyone. It's always going to have that teeny kind of feel that, you know, even though it's not 6 friends going into the woods, it's a group of friends at work. It's just same concept, different setting. It's not challenging. It's almost like a familiar old pal. Final Destination 5, everyone.
Final Destination 5 for your delectation and delight. Thank you very much, Alison, for your horror recommendation. And now from one horror to another. Let us turn to Maureen Younger and her corner, which is looking a bit lumpy, if I'm honest. Maureen Younger, she has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm saying.
Wow, wait.
That's that wonderful intro, Jen. How dare you? I've got very perky tits. Now, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the lumps.
Just going to show that. Thank you very much. Anyway.
Well done. What a great rack, Maureen. Well done. That's no mean feat.
For a woman of my age.
38.
Anyway, so. 38. Right, I'm going to ignore Jen's introduction as usual. Just carry on regardless. You do know every insult, just going to add an extra day before I pick up Jamie.
She'll be outside, so pick her up whenever you like.
She'll just hurl herself against the door until you let her in. You do know that.
I know. She's a horror.
I'm carrying on with the Australian theme, saying goodbye to Australia, which is Peter Weir, who's a great director. He was a leading figure in the Australian New Wave cinema movement, which apparently went from 1970 to 1990. That's all I know about it. But he made his feature film debut with a mystery drama, Picnic at Hanging Rock, in 1975. Just read the book. That was for book club. Really enjoyed it, actually. And the film is meant to be great. He then made The Last Wave, and then he made, which became internationally successful, Gallipoli, which I've already mentioned before, in 1981.
Yeah, that's seen made Gallipoli, with Mel Gibson
and Mark Lee. Fantastic movie. And then what became even more successful was The Year of Living Dangerously, 1982. Again with Mel Gibson and Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, my God. I have seen that.
Yeah, it's set in Indonesia.
I have seen that film a long time ago.
Mel Gibson is stunning in it. I remember going to see the film.
He's a beautiful man. Very beautiful.
Oh, my God. He was gorgeous in it. Sigourney Weaver is playing an English woman. And I think her name is Linda Hunt, was playing the Indonesian man in it. It's a really, if you haven't seen it, Alison, have you seen it? It's a really good movie.
I watched it again. That was a movie that I watched with my mum many, many years ago. When you could like rent a video out. I remember that. Yeah.
Very good. And then one of my favourite films of all time, he made in 1985. I remember going to see it with my friend in France, who I cannot name, Witness.
Witness, yes. That's a great film as well.
That is a fantastic film with Harrison Ford. And I think for non-Americans, it was really interesting because normally films are set in America, LA or New York, and we kind of think that is what America is. And then it's set in the Amish community, which I didn't know existed until the film came out. And it's basically a police cop, and he realizes that there's one cop is dirty, and he's being chased, and he hides with the Amish.
Amish.
Because the little boy has the little Amish boy witnessed the murder. It's a really, really good movie. Totally recommend it.
And he falls in love with an Amish woman.
Yes, Kelly McGillis. And then it was interesting for me because they do speak German. Obviously, they were originally from Germany, speak very old German. Then he did The Dead Poets Society in 1989 with Robin Williams.
No, what about Mosquito Coast?
Did he do that as well?
Yeah, with Harrison Ford and River Phoenix.
I've never seen that, you know. Oh, is it good?
It's hard work.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not hard work as in it's not fun to watch, but it's kind of like, it doesn't end well, let's put it like that. So it's one of those ones where you go, I mean, can I recommend it? I mean, Harrison Ford is stunning in it. At River Phoenix,
Helen Mirren's in it as well. Is Helen
She plays the mum, the wife. Yeah, yeah, it's great. It's a great movie
because they're both together again, aren't they? In the prequel to Yellowstone.
Oh, I did not know that. That's okay. Yeah, that's on Paramount, isn't it? Yeah.
He also did The Truman Show, which I've never ever seen, Command of the Far Side of the World, and his final feature was the well-received film The Way Back. So there.
And Green Card.
He did Green Card, yeah.
With Andy Joe McDowell and that's...
Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah.
A lot of good films there. If you haven't seen any, check them out.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant recommendation, Maureen. Well done. Yeah. And a lot of those films are kind of... I suppose now they're quite old, aren't they? They're sort of all 80s, 90s.
40 years. They're 40 years.
I mean, I don't think of them as being, but I mean, I suppose I was.
But that's a frightening thing because, you know, when I saw films from the 40s and the 80s, I was like, God, these are ancient films. And they seem more ancient because of the way they're dressed and often they're in black and white. But it's the same time, isn't it? It's 40 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was 11 or 12 when Mosquito Coast came out.
I was minus two.
You were. You weren't even alive. You weren't even alive, Maureen. Well, thank you very much for these recommendations. They're brilliant, Maureen.
I can't believe you've never seen The Truman Show. You should watch The Truman Show.
It's meant to be very good. No.
I like the way you're saying it to us. It's meant to be very good. We've seen it.
Okay.
I think you'd enjoy it. I think you'd enjoy it.
It is a very good film. And also, sometimes I feel like I'm on The Truman Show.
I know.
You know when you just think, this can't be real, can it? Are we? Is this someone? Someone's having a laugh. Come on, when are the cameramen going to come out and tell me that this whole thing's been a joke?
My life. Well, this is great. It's so nice to have you back, Maureen. We're delighted to have you back. It's so nice to see you in our time zone again. We've learned a lot. We've felt a lot. But what we really want to feel now is a little bit of anger. What's frustrating us? Jen, what's getting your goat?
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are. Feedback. I don't need it. I don't want it. Everybody keep it to themselves.
Now, let me tell you what I think of that.
Exactly. A little bit too much feedback. And also, look, too many demands for feedback. Tell us what you thought about. You experienced, you had. Would you like to leave some feedback? No, I don't. I don't want to leave any feedback. I don't have any feedback to give about my very brief interaction where I purchased a tea towel. Assume if I come back that everything's positive, and if I don't, it hasn't been. I don't want to interact with you with any feedback. Also, I don't want your feedback about anything I do ever. So that's what's got my goat. A little too much of the feedback in this day and age. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think more than ever since COVID, people really want to give feedback on everything. Their opinion must be heard.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's COVID oriented, Alison. I feel like even pre-COVID, you couldn't purchase a single thing without somebody going, tell us about your experience. I didn't have an experience. There was no experience being had.
The worst thing is, like, sometimes when I use the cash machine at a bank, they then email me to say, what was your experience of being in our branch? And I was like, well, all I did was take money out. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
That's what I'm talking about, Maureen. Tell us about how you feel. One of these days, I'm going to tell you how I feel. Here's the number of my therapist. Have a little chat with her. She'll tell you everything I've been feeling for the last 7 days, or 14 days, in fact. She'll feed it back to you and then let me know if that's enough, because I can't be... Oh, hello. Here she comes.
Jamie's like, what's that?
She's been desperate to do that since we started. She's been sat behind my laptop, waiting to walk across the computer screen like the scamp that she is.
She's feeling ignored, that's why.
Now she's gone, yep, I'm fine, I'll just curl up here. She follows me around like she's a dog, honestly. I can't go anywhere without that fucking cat. Sometimes I go downstairs to pick something up, I come back up, she goes, I'll come down with you. You're like, don't come down with me because I'm coming back up. I go, sorry, I'll come down with you and then I'll come back up with you.
She does.
And sometimes when she's come back up, she's almost like, why did you make me come down? I'm like, I didn't. I didn't make you do anything. I actually told you to stay where you are, but you insisted. It's the trouble. We can't really communicate. We don't speak the same language.
I told you she was exasperated when I go to the loo late at night or early in the morning because she has to come with me. And it's like, oh, God. It's like, well, you could have just stayed in bed.
Yeah. Do you know what? Now, that's the one thing. When I get up to go to the toilet now, she's kind of gone, because Chloe's in bed. She's like, I don't need to get up. I don't need
you. I'll stay here.
Because there's another person here, so it's fine. So if you don't come back, it's actually okay. But when Chloe went skiing, up she'd get, padding away. Anyway, we've gone off on a tangent here from what we were talking about.
It's all
cat
right.
Always pulls focus. Have you noticed that, Jamie?
Yeah, yeah, that's what cats do.
She's like, when is it going to be about me? It's like, it's always about you, you blinking pain in the bum. Anyway, we will miss her when she goes, Maureen, just so you know.
Oh,
I'm going to miss having a small black and white gap thing. Yeah.
There'll be a gap in your life. You'll be like, where's kitty cat? Where's the kitty cat?
What will you miss, Jess?
Huh?
What will you miss?
Oh, I came home last night after a gig and it was quite late. And when I walked through the door, I was like, I was just expecting her to come padding up to the door to say hello. And because Chloe had gone to bed, she was already upstairs. I was like, and I was irritated. I was like, you're supposed to be greeting me.
She does do that. When I got home today, well, yesterday, I did open the door because she always walks towards me when I open the door, unless she's sleeping in her little bed.
Her little hammock.
I was like, oh, no, Jamie.
Well, you will have her tomorrow, Maureen.
Possibly.
Uh-oh, she's saying possibly. It's a possibly maybe. Friday?
Saturday. We'll talk when this is over.
Oh, Christ. I'm going to have to feed this back to Chloe. You can feed it back to her.
Oh, no, I'm not going to feed it back to Chloe. I'm not an idiot.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Let's talk later.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.